joining us as we bring you once again the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z right here on Progressive Radio Network. And we're so happy to be in touch with people who listen to our show. You know, Progressive Radio Network is one of the most widely listened to broadcasts around the world, which is really, really exciting, and just won some additional awards this week. And we have been with you right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z since this show's inception, and actually since 1987. And we've been doing radio shows, hours of it every week. So we're so happy to have you on board. And of course, you can come back and listen to the archives. If there's something that you find interesting, you can share it with your listeners and your groups anytime. And we do want to bring on board today our guest, and then we're going to tell you about some events that are happening with The Natural Nurse. And we're going to be speaking in a little while with Dr. Michael Gurevich, who is a conventionally trained psychiatrist who is board certified in psychiatry, addiction psychiatry, but also, and why we know each other for so many decades, holistic medicine and acupuncture. And he has been in practice for over 30 years. So we will be bringing Dr. Michael Gurevich on board in just a little while. But I'd like to tell you how you can join us with The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z in both online and what they call on-ground events. In other words, where you actually come and, you know, hang out with us in person. And the best way to find that out is join our mailing list. Just go to Natural Nurse, all one word, naturalnurse.com. If you go to the bottom of the page and just go to where it says join our newsletter, you can then basically get an email now and then with a list of our events. But if you don't want to join the newsletter, no problem. You can just go to naturalnurse.com. You can find links to all our podcasts, The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, Herbally Yours, The Natural Medicine Chest. We have lots of podcasts available. And you can also look at our services, such as a consultation or career paths in natural health. Perhaps you are a healthcare provider already, but you would like to walk on a path similar to myself, my co-host, Dr. Eugene Zamperone, or our upcoming guest today, Dr. Michael Gurevich, and incorporate natural medicine into the healing modalities you offer. We teach a class on that called Career Paths in Natural Health. We also have a wide range of classes that people can take. If you're a professional with any kind of license, you can get CE units for it while you're studying natural medicine. And if you don't need the CE units, you can take the course anyway, just to have the knowledge for yourself and your family. Also, we do Natural Regulatory Nurse. And what that's about is helping anyone who thinks they'd like to have a career with natural products, or in fact, saying they're a holistic health professional. How do you do that legally? What is the regulatory environment? That is really one of my specialties that I'm focusing on right now. And also herb walks and medicine making. We have tours that go to Jamaica, West Indies. Dr. Zamperone got back recently from the tour for this year, and we're already setting it up for next year if you want to get in touch and be on the waiting list. And we have Chinatown herb walks. The Chinatown herb walks are coming right up. We have one in the spring and one in the fall. And we go to Chinatown and study natural Chinese healing techniques. And anyone can come with us on that. So the easiest way to find out about all of that is to go to naturalnurse.com and then click on events and classes. For instance, right now we're running the Natural Nurse Herbal Certification course, and that's online. It's a four-class series, and it offers 18 CEUs for nurses, midwives, massage therapists, acupuncturists, nutritionists, such as RDs. And it's a four-class series. When you're done, you get the Natural Nurse Herbal Certification course certification. And you also, more importantly, you will now be a beginning herbalist. You will now have the language that herbalists speak to each other. You will know how to put together an herbal protocol. Very important, you would know how to look up herb-drug interactions, which are very important when we're doing natural interventions. We also have a one-time class coming up called Feeling the Consciousness of Plants. That's actually next week, and that has three CEUs. And that's about the fact that, did you ever think your dog is telling you he wants to take a walk? Well, guess what? You're not imagining it. There are actually receptor sites on every cell in our body that have to do with interspecies communication. There are other sites that influence intra-species communication. That means humans talking to each other, you know, plants talking to each other, but plants talk to you. When you walk past that dogwood tree, which is in gorgeous bloom right now in the East Coast there, and you feel like, wow, you know, I'm in communication. Remember, that tree has been your neighbor, like has lived with you for 10 or 20 years if you're living in the same place. You are communicating with it. It's not that you're imagining you are. So that class this Sunday is called Feeling the Consciousness of Plants. And we're going to talk about how you can increase that happening for you and the scientific validation that you're not just imagining it. We also have the 2023 Wild Edible and Medicinal Herb Identification coming up at Restoration Farm. And that is in Old Bethpage. That usually sells out pretty quickly. So if you want to sign up for that, I would suggest you do, because we have the herbal medicine making workshop, and that's coming up in July. And what we do there is we get together with a group of people in Old Bethpage on this gorgeous farm, which is called Restoration Farm. We go out in the field and we physically identify and pick wild, edible, and medicinal plants, and we then make them into medicine. So you go home taking your own homemade herbal with you. And it might be a skin salve, or it might be a tincture, or an extract, or a tea blend. We make smudge sticks, like Native American style smudge sticks, out of the wild plants right on Long Island, as has been done for centuries, and you will go home with those skills. Now, if you feel like you make these remedies and they work super well, which they do, and you get the idea, maybe I'll sell this fantastic skin salve, I've never bought one this great, and then you make it into something that you want to sell, even on Etsy, whoops, then you're going into, you know, really needing a class in herbal manufacturing legal considerations, because that's huge. But coming on the class with us and learning how to make it for yourself and your family, there are no legal ramifications about that. And it's wonderful for fun and your health. So, you know, just check that out at naturalnurse.com and join us in any capacity that you're interested in. At this point, we're going to bring on board our guest, Dr. Michael Gurevich, and he was in a psychiatric hospital, clinics, and private practice. I will let him tell us about how disappointed he got with conventional psychiatry, but he has a very active clinic on Long Island in near Glen Cove, so he's very accessible for any of our local listeners. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Michael Gurevich.
Okay, thank you very much, Ellen, for inviting me. And you have an amazing number of classes. I will consider maybe taking some of them.
Yes, so, we do have a lot. And best thing to do is just go to naturalnurse.com and look at classes and, you know, see which might interest you. But I want to go back in time with you, Dr. Gurevich, because you have been a doctor and a psychiatrist, really, for decades. What got you started as a young man on that path to begin with?
Yeah, what started me is that I burned out as a conventional psychiatrist.
And it happened. Wait a minute. Let's go back a little further. What made you want to be even a doctor and then a psychiatrist?
Oh, now what happened? My mom was a surgeon, and so she was my role model. And I have two older sisters who went into medical school. And so kind of for me, it was no brainer that I will go into medicine.
And that's really interesting. I never knew that about you. And I do want to share with our listeners that I do know you and you know me for many, many decades.
Yes.
And for many years, while I was in really active practice in the Long Island area with Dr. Serafina Corsello, who was also a psychiatrist, we regularly sent people to your office, and I saw amazing things happen, Dr. Michael, where you actually successfully got people off a lot of psychiatric drugs.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That became my passion after I sort of burned out as a conventional psychiatrist. I came through your residency fellowship and I thought I'll be able to help a lot of people. And what I was witnessing that using the most advanced number of medications that came to a market, coming to a market, and ECT, electroconvulsive therapy, my patients keep relapsing. And I was very disappointed in my results. In addition to that, I was working with substance abusing patients on inpatient and on outpatient basis, and they keep relapsing as well. And that was a time when I learned about this interesting method, 5-point ear or auricular acupuncture. Looks like a very simple way to put just 5 needles in each ear, and patients were getting better. It was quite amazing. And then when I began to explore, I found out the ear has hundreds of points. And then I began to look at the body, and body has multiple points. So I went to the acupuncture school, and I learned that there is a completely new way to a completely different way from what I was learning and what I knew to understand and treat multiple conditions, including psychiatric ones. And then I began to explore everything what is around because I wanted to know. And every second weekend or so, I was going to one or another workshops, learning what I can. So I learned a bunch of stuff, you know, meditation, guided imagery, multiple energetic methods. One of the most important thing that I learned is when I met my one of the very advanced physician, Dr. Dietrich Klinghardt, and he kind of opened my understanding about many other things, including the German biological medicine and completely new way of understanding energy medicine.
Yes, I'm very familiar with Dr. Klinghardt as well.
Yes.
So Dr. Corsello, and I was her head nurse for about 25 years, actually, and Dr. Serafina Corsello also started, like yourself, Dr. Michael, as a psychiatrist. And she, when she was actually at St. Vincent's early on in her career, I think she was just doing her residency. She actually came from Italy, but she had studied orthomolecular psychiatry, which looked at the link between, and you can tell us more about it, of course, but nutrition and various psychological and psychiatric issues. And she actually got them at St. Vincent to use specific food formulations and IV therapy in terms of mineral deficiencies, magnesium, et cetera. And they were able to see an immediate change in these patients that were even in the psych ward. So she was blown away about, like you, why isn't that the standard of practice?
Right, exactly. She was very well known in New York State and behind its borders. And I knew of many patients who went to her clinic. And unfortunately, when medical boards came after her, it was very disappointing that people like she, who are very advanced, were not allowed to practice the way they were helping so many people.
I know. It gets into the realm of politics, I'm afraid. And you as a physician, perhaps, you know, you have to be pulled into considering that, because what you are supposed to do, I guess, is what they call standard of practice, which is just give drugs. And with that, pharmaceutical drugs, and not even discuss nutrition or all the wonderful techniques you offer that really gets people off the drugs. In other words, I think the goal overall in conventional medicine is to sort of get people on as many drugs as possible.
Right, right. Unfortunately, that is a standard of care. And unfortunately, I'm also not immune to medical boards. And there is a risk for all of us who is not really working in that model. So I'm at risk myself.
It is. But you know what? I'll tell you, there's some hopeful signs on the horizon, Dr. Michael, because I'm as part of the NIH, Office of Complementary Medicine, and you really should join in with this also, because they're having ongoing meetings about the fact that what someone like yourself is doing is actually the true evidence-based medicine. And as part of the NIH Office of Complementary and Holistic Medicine, what they're trying to do is initiate something that should have been done 20 years ago, where things that you are doing would actually be first line standard of practice. And then later, we can always bring in drug therapies and, of course, surgery. And I'm sure you yourself, in fact, I know patients who have gone to you. You don't just tell them stop their drugs that day. You slowly change their lifestyle practices. You slowly do some interventions and slowly take away whatever medications you can, you know, in a way that is watchful.
Yeah, I would be actually, you know, very interested if we can talk later on, because this is very much on my mind. I want to test really in a more or less rigorous way how methods that I'm using can be of help and can be published and let as a psychiatrist to know about them. Maybe after the show, maybe we can talk. Or
yeah, we'll have a private conversation about that, and I'll connect you with the NIH, because what their overall premise is, it's called whole person medicine. Mm-hmm. It's not specifically focused on psychiatry. It's on all medicine. And what the premise is that more studies are great. Wonderful. We can keep doing studies. We do not need one other study. No more studies are needed. Natural medicine in terms of diet, lifestyle, holistic interventions, using things like herbs and homeopathy, which I know you're familiar with, and making the premise be using the least pharmaceuticals as possible is what is evidence-based as the best intervention for not only health, but overall cost of medicine.
Right, right.
And it's just so true.
Yeah, absolutely. And because our medicine is so expensive and the government will run out of money if we don't change the way it is practiced. So it is very important. I agree with you.
So let's let you define. So we know already you are a board certified psychiatrist. You have not only the deepest kind of conventional regular medical school training. You also come genetically prepared through your mother, which is like another whole step of depth in terms of your connection to medicine. But what is holistic psychiatry? How would you define that?
Yeah, so I would define it as a holistic understanding of what is happening with the patient and how to treat it holistically, meaning keeping in mind emotional, physical, energetical, spiritual, interpersonal, transpersonal, through multiple generations, understanding of where the patient is at this point, and then applying methods which are basically very specific for particular patients. And the goal is to help the patient, the client, to recover and to achieve the best of their functioning level. So kind of maybe it's long, but that is my understanding.
Well, we'll go with your understanding, since I would say you're one of the most widely recognized holistic psychiatrists. So, you know, you talked about how you started coming to it by feeling not feeling supported, since your goal was to heal people. And when you were just giving them a whole lot of pharmaceutical drugs, you didn't see them necessarily get well.
Right. Right. Actually, not only medications, I was doing electroconvulsive therapy as well.
Are they still doing that now?
They're still doing it. It's quite commonly used. If you know, Talent Jewish Hospital, they're one of the leading institutions of that. And what happened with me, I was doing it. I was excited to see that patients are getting better. And until my patient, who was a kind of success story in quotes, committed suicide a month after I finished giving him ECT. After that, I looked at what I was doing and I decided no more ECT.
And that's what people are probably familiar with, even from the movies, where they actually put electrodes on someone's head, and it's basically also called shock therapy.
Right.
Though that's, a more common name, a physician may not use that, but that's how people can recognize it. And I have seen people treated that way who did seem to really calm down, especially if they were, having psychotic episodes. So it did seem to help them calm down, but usually only for a while.
Right. It's basically the therapy is effective for maybe 50-60% of patients who fail to respond to all the psychotropic medications. But then what's happening, side effects, number one, people lose their memory, and they can just very slowly, gradually regain it back, some of it. But the most importantly, every day, people are losing 5% of effectiveness of the ECT. That's why after a few months, usually they become depressed again. And then basically what is being advised is to give them ongoing ECT every week or every 2 weeks or every month. Yeah. So basically, they never can get their memory back. So it's not a good approach, not in my opinion.
Well, I have to definitely agree with you. And I want to remind our listeners that we are here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And we're going to take a little break right here where you can listen to The Natural Medicine Chest. And when we come back, we will be continuing our discussions with Dr. Michael Gurevich. And we do have contact information for him on our website, where you can actually go to his office. And just let me ask you one thing, Dr. Gurevich. Are you seeing people just in your office or also virtually?
I do see some people virtually, but by law, I must see them first in my office.
Okay. And you can contact his office at 516-674-9489 or at transformationalhealing.me at his website and see all the wonderful interventions that Dr. Michael Gurevich has available. So we will take a break here and we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the essential oil taken from the Australian tea tree.
The tea tree, known as Melaleuca alternifolia, grows in only one region of the world, the northeast corner of Australia. It is a full-sized tree of the myrtle family, whose oil has powerful abilities to clean and help heal wounds and skin ailments such as cuts, burns, and rashes. In 1770, the infamous Captain Cook was a lieutenant in the British Royal Navy when his ship landed in Australia. The botanist on board, Sir Joseph Banks, collected samples of a sticky aromatic leaf and brought them back to England for further investigation.
In 1923, an Australian curator and chemist, Dr. Penfold, conducted a study on tea tree leaves and discovered that their essential oils are 13 times stronger as an antiseptic bactericide than carbolic acid, considered the standard in the early 1900s. The oil contains 50 to 60% terpenes, 6 to 8% cineol, which causes its camphor-like odor, and several kinds of alcohols. In 1933, the Australian Journal of Pharmacy, the American Journal of the National Medical Association, and the British Medical Journal reported that tea tree oil is a powerful disinfectant, non-poisonous, non-irritating, and has been used successfully in a very wide range of septic conditions. Australian tea tree oil is mentioned in the British Pharmaceutical Codex of 1949, the UK Medicine List, and the Dispensary of the United States.
During World War II, tea tree oil was considered a standard issue item for all first aid kits for Army and Navy units in tropical regions. The demand for tea tree oil exceeded the supply. However, after World War II, synthetic drugs gained in popularity and the use of tea tree oil in medicine waned. In more recent times, a renewed interest in natural, non-toxic alternatives has triggered a resurgence in tea tree oil research. In 1985, Dr. Paul Belacher, chief of the phytotherapy department at the Faculty of Medicine, University of Paris, worked on several double-blind studies involving tea tree oil and its application as a remedy for candidiasis, chronic cystitis, staph and strep infections, and nail bed fungus. He stated, and we quote, "The essential oil of Melaleuca has entered the team of major essential oils and emerges as an antiseptic and antifungal weapon of the first order in phytoaromatherapy."
Try a few drops of tea tree oil in a steam vaporizer and inhale for blocked sinuses, or rub the oil on chest and back for a cough. The Australian Journal of Dentistry reported that using tea tree oil in dental hygiene and in surgery showed it to be an extremely effective antiseptic. Add a drop on your toothbrush or include it as a gargle and mouthwash. Tea tree oil can be applied directly to the skin. Although it's possible that some people may experience a mild allergic reaction, in-depth research has shown tea tree oil to be non-irritating and safe.
So, listeners, think about including tea tree oil, the first aid kit in a bottle, in your natural medicine chest.
Greetings. Join us on Sunday, June 11th, 2023, and again on Sunday, September 24th, 2023, for a Chinese herb walk and culture experience in New York City's Chinatown. Do Qigong in Chinatown's Columbus Park. Experience Chinese tongue and pulse diagnosis. Visit museums and herbal apothecaries. Learn about Chinese medicine and its theories. spend a magical day in another country in New York City. Your instructors are experienced healthcare practitioners and herbalists who have been leading this tour since 1992, over 30 years. For more information, call 203-263-2970. That number again, 203-263-2970. Or send us an email at drznaturally@gmail.com. That's drznaturally@gmail.com. Shay Shay.
And we're back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Best place to find us and all that we offer. For instance, the many books that Dr. Zamperon and I have written, thousands of podcasts and articles, which are all available to you for free, and both the online and on-ground sessions that we offer, as well as literally thousands of podcasts. So you can just go to naturalnurse.com to access any of that information. Today, we are so pleased to have as our guest, Dr. Michael Guruvish, and you can find him at transformationalhealing.me, his website, and you can find contacts also on this show, and it's archived. We'll have direct links. So thank you so much for being our guest today, Dr. Michael.
Thank you.
Now, in your clinic, like you said, you are still seeing people, you're open for business, and you're actively seeing clients and patients at your facility. And that's it. Is it Glen Cove or Glen Head, Long Island?
It's in Glen Head. It's about 2 miles from Glen Cove.
Because I live in Oyster Bay, so I'm right near there. Because yes. where I do most of my shopping is at Young's Farm. Have you ever been there?
I think I've been there once, right?
It's a wonderful place because it's a farm that's been there for 400 years.
Oh, okay.
And they grow everything and you can just go get it. It's amazing. And so it's minutes from you, literally. So you may want to check it out.
I'm writing it down.
Yeah, that's a shout out to Young's Farm. Maybe I'll see you there one day because I go there, you know, once or twice a week because really, really good stuff. And they have different vegetables available, whatever's available all the time.
Okay.
So now for people who would come to you as a psychiatrist, they usually find you because they're already having conventional psychiatric interventions. And then I imagine they hear about you or their family member does. Is that how it usually happens? Like they're not looking for their first psychiatrist who is going to give them all the pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, I see very few patients for whom I'm the first psychiatrist.
That's what I'm saying.
And then
it's too bad because they'd probably have better outcomes.
Yeah.
I just want to share one other story with you.
Sure.
There's a nurse that I had on. She's a nurse practitioner, and she's actually an RD. She's a registered dietitian, and through that, she got a job at a facility for the criminally insane. I mean, that's a group of people who are rather challenged. I'm sure you would agree.
Right.
She actually changed the food in that facility to where she made arrangements to purchase local food from farmers. And then she made the cooks in the facility. She took them in the kitchen and said, look, we have a kitchen. So you're not just going to be warming up fake food. You're going to cook real food. And it was a hassle. She did that. But do you know she was able to not only bring the cost to the facility of feeding the inmates down, but she did the further studying the inmates for the changes, positive changes in their behavior over time, just from changing the food source from processed food to whole food.
Yeah, that's quite amazing, but not surprising at all.
Not surprising, because what you do is the cutting edge of psychiatric intervention, and it should be the first line.
Right, I agree. So changing the diet or nowadays people don't want to go to sleep until 12, until 2 a.m. or 3 a.m., or adolescents stay as long as they want on TikTok, and then they cannot get up in the morning, and they begin to feel depressed and suicidal. So quite often, that's one of the first things that I need to advise them.
So now, if somebody's already having psychiatric issues, and then they usually come to you, and they're already taking, I imagine, a wide range of drug soup, all kinds of things, right? So they can't just stop all those things right away. So you're talking about your first discussion might be about their sleep habits and their eating habits. And if they're, you know, really having trouble with their own life, I imagine someone else has to take control of let's say, the food.
Right. So basically, my first visit, my first goal is to find the etiology of what really brought their condition, why they're depressed, suicidal, or they have psychosis, or they have now very popular diagnosis, bipolar disorder. And patients put on quite a few medications. So And primarily people come to me because they want to reduce the number, reduce or eliminate the several medications they are on, because all of these medications are causing significant issues in their life. And so, of course, I cannot tell them, let's stop medications tomorrow, because they would be back in the hospital. It is a slow process in which, first of all, I need to help them to change their lifestyle, as you mentioned. Quite often, I need to address the issues of the infection. On Long Island, for example, there are quite a few people are infected with Lyme.
For sure. And
Without helping them to resolve the infection, they cannot get well. Or there is an issue, many of the people becoming traumatized by one thing or the other. For example, women quite often, molested or raped. And unfortunately, it's too common nowadays. And there are very elegant ways how to resolve those underlying issues. And then getting them off medications becomes kind of much easier.
So first you have to start at the beginning, you know, dig into some of those what we'll call root causes. Right. And I'm sure certainly psychiatrists nor have regular, you know, the doctor in charge, the primary care, nobody's even addressed any of those things.
Yeah, in psychiatry, actually, if you look at psychiatric diagnosis and the understanding, they're not even looking at the etiology. There is only one or two psychiatric conditions where they're beginning to look at what really happened. Otherwise, they're just lumping patients, let's say, which they label as depressed or anxious in one group. And the understanding is that you need to give all those patients the same medications, anti-anxiety or antidepressant medications. And what happens, people may respond for a short time to the first medication, but then after some time it stopped working. So you need to add another and then another medication until it stopped working completely. And unfortunately, at that time, they quite often come to me.
Right, because they say, well, this whole path, we need to maybe, you know, try something else. Right. And like you said, first, you know, you don't just walk in and say, okay, stop all those meds. Because like you said, a lot of those meds have terrible repercussions when you stop them. You know, it causes a lot of the same thing that you had in the beginning when you took them, such as, like you said, more severe depression, more severe suicidal ideation. So you need to wean them off slowly. First, you're changing the milieu. You're looking at their infection level, which is usually very often there in people who have had any kind of ongoing illnesses, mental or physical. And then you're looking at what are they eating and their sleep patterns. Now, do they go along with something like changing their eating habits?
No, it is always a challenge. However, when people come and they feel like they're at the end of their road, and so they become more cooperative. And then I don't ask them to change everything right away, because right. It's the prescription for non-compliance, and them just telling it's too much, and psychiatrist is too crazy. So it has to be a process where we talk together, where we gradually, where I help them to gradually change their lifestyle.
And then you start cutting down whatever certain medications that you could, because sometimes people are on high blood pressure medications, they don't even have high blood pressure, you know? So there are certain things that you can wean first, and that's why people should never stop all the medications on their own. You want to work with a doctor who is well-trained, both in pharmacy as well as holistic interventions. So that's a much safer way to go. And then you have such a long list of things, some of which we'll talk about after we take our next break, because not only are you a psychiatrist, you also do functional medicine, orthomolecular, German biological medicine, neural therapy, ketamine-assisted psychotherapy, which is something that they're using more recently, positive psychology, acupuncture, guided imagery, meditation, or you might just call it mindfulness, because then nobody minds the word, and systemic family constellation. Those are all big, big concepts that you incorporate over time, which is very exclusive to what you do.
Right. And I think that is when every patient is approached individually, I need to have quite a few tools to help everyone in his or her own way.
Otherwise, because different things will work for different people.
Right, right.
Well, otherwise, that's great. We're going to talk more about some of those things. Like when we come back, perhaps we'll investigate ketamine-assisted psychotherapy, which I think many people have not heard of. And that's something that, you know, could be an issue legally for you doing something like that, but we can talk about it. And we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And we're back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And I'd like to remind you to get in touch with us. Best way is just go to naturalnurse.com, because from there you can go to our Instagram. We have 22,000 followers on our Instagram, The Natural Nurse, and you can go to Facebook, The Natural Nurse, and you could go to Natural Regulatory Nurse, where we talk a lot about bringing products to market legally, and you can go to various other places that we have. So best thing to do is go to naturalnurse.com if you'd like to communicate with us, or just get some free info. And today we have on board as our guest Dr. Michael Gurevich, who's a conventionally trained psychiatrist. But if you've been listening to the show, you know he goes way beyond that, and he would be considered a holistic psychiatrist who incorporates all kinds of cutting edge and ancient techniques, and they are individualized to the therapeutic intervention for each individual completely separately, because we're not all alike. And to find him, a good place to go is Transformational Healing, all one word, transformationalhealing.me. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Michael Gurevich.
Thank you.
So, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time to go into all these things like autonomic response testing, bioresonance analysis of health. It just goes on and on. Your toolkit is huge. And I, again, want to say that I know people, personal individuals, who really had fantastic outcomes after visiting you. So I want to talk about something that maybe people don't know about, which is ketamine-assisted psychotherapy. What is that?
Right. So the ketamine is actually old medications was discovered in the 1960s. It's a general anesthetic. And what was noted that the people who would go through general anesthesia with it, some of them would wake up and tell, oh, I'm no longer depressed. And so in the 70s, they began to investigate it as an antidepressant medication. But unfortunately, that was an era when basically with Nixon era, and all psychedelics were suppressed and made unavailable. And all the research with psychedelics was stopped. However, somewhere in the mid 2000s, they began to investigate ketamine because it has a psychedelic properties. They began to investigate it for the treatment of depression and anxiety. And primarily, it is now being used in psychiatry, using it in intravenous form. Primarily by anesthesiologists. And of course, anesthesiologists using it as a medication without any psychotherapeutic efforts. And even in that form, it is quite effective for the multiple conditions. I'm using it in a different way. It's called ketamine-assisted psychotherapy, where it is used as part of the psychotherapeutic approach. The first time a patient needs to be in my office, it's a three-hour procedure where we test what form is what dose is most accessible, most helpful. And then basically people quite often go into this alternate state of consciousness. And in that state, they can access the memories that have been deeply suppressed, and they can begin to resolve the underlying causes of their depression, anxiety, or CD. Later on, I would prescribe, and people can take these medications 2 to 3 times a week at home under my guidance, talking to me about how it goes, maybe every 2 to 3 weeks. And that helps to resolve a lot of conditions. It becomes kind of a form of self-therapy. And it's accompanied by music. People, when they are in a relaxed state using ketamine, it becomes very easy for them to access some memories and images, which helps them to resolve their underlying condition.
So you have used this, and you find that it tends to be very helpful for some people.
It became one of the quite often used method for those who failed many other forms of therapy. And it's very inexpensive. The supply of ketamine for months and a half cost just $75.
So it's available, but you're using it for what would be called an off-use reason?
Yes, yes. It can be ordered through compounding pharmacy. There is also a medication which is based on ketamine. It's called S-ketamine. It's a left form of this medication. It's a prescription medication, but a single dose costs about between $300 and $800 if it's not approved by the insurance. And copayment is quite significant as well. But this medication has to be taken in the doctor's office. It takes about 2 hours, so it becomes very difficult to use.
Well, in the last few minutes, so that's wonderful that you have that, and they're not going to get that, you know, from their other psychiatrists. And also, it's like I said, it's not you walk in and you just give people ketamine. They become your patients for a while. You really understand them. You understand the medical history. You understand the intervention, even between pharmaceuticals and herbs, for instance.
Right.
So you're not just going to throw a bunch of herbs at them or other natural therapies. And really, people in that state are really fragile. And I wish the entire field of psychiatry was like yourself and my own dearly departed Dr. Serafina Corsello, who I worked for so many years and saw thousands of patients get well through the integrated approach of using, like you talked about in the beginning, food and sleep habits and socialization, and then looking at things that we can use, like you just talked about ketamine, that many people haven't heard of. But you're not just going to throw in ketamine on top of all those other pharmaceuticals without knowing what you're doing, which you do know.
Right, right. People need to be prepared for the experience, how it goes, so it doesn't start with the first meeting they come and they put right away on it. It is a process. And because people share with me their history, so usually it becomes very important to guide them through the process of, let's say, talking to somebody who even passed away and resolving their issues with parents which are no longer here. And that becomes very healing experience.
And I imagine that's something that you address with what you're talking about here, another whole big thing called systemic family constellation.
Right.
Right. So how would you describe that?
That's another very interesting method which came to us from Germany. And basically the idea is that we all are connected by invisible web with everybody who belongs to our family. And it's our parents, our grandparents, our grandparents, of course, our spouses, uncle, aunts, children, grandchildren. And this invisible web can be elicited in a group or one-on-one. And quite often we carry the unresolved issues which come to us from generations before. And then we're not aware of that consciously, but it manifests in us through the all kind of physical or emotional issues. And when we elicit what have happened, and there are very, very elegant ways to do it, we can resolve the issue. We can restore the balance in the family. And then what's interesting, it's not only the patient who becomes, who gets better and healed, but it's also members of their family who were suffering from the similar issues get better as well. And those members can be thousands of miles away, and they still get this healing response.
That is amazing. And I think that makes a lot of sense for those of us who know about even something called the 100th monkey effect, where certain members of a monkey family learn to wash their vegetables a certain way. And then when they do, somehow members of their family all around, nowhere, no one near them, they're not texting each other either, all of them start to actually have this specific innate intelligence. And then they're all able to wash their vegetables that way. So, you know, that has to do with that group mind and the interconnectedness that we may not know about, but is there.
Right. Exactly. It's a, it's sort of, at times it feels like a magic. So the way I do it, quite not often, but it can be done one-on-one. But the most eloquent way to do it in a group, let's say 10 to 15 people who never ever met each other, and one of them in a short way present his or her issues, and then chooses some representative, somebody to represent, let's say, their mother, their grandmother, their father or so, from the members of the group whom they don't know. And we put them in a so-called constellation.
Well, unfortunately, we do have to end here, but people can be really fascinated, and they can definitely contact you for more information. I want to thank all of you so much for listening to our show today, and always, The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Go to transformationalhealing.me to connect more with our fascinating guest today, psychiatrist Dr. Michael Gurevich, there on Long Island, and you can also contact him through his website. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. So on behalf of myself and Dr. Eugene Zamperone, please visit us at naturalnurse.com. And until next time, we're hoping that you stay healthy.